right here at this particular end.
Good afternoon. This is Division 6 of the Colorado Court of Appeals. For our 130 docket, we have two cases. Case number 07CA2543, City of Colorado Springs against the Board of Commissioners of Pueblo County. 2008CA1249, Sinclair Transportation Company against Sandberg. I see counsel are in place for the first case. And our counsel present for the second case.
Counsel's ready, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Have you all received the instruction sheet and had a chance to review it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Any questions? You'll each have 15 minutes. There's a timer on the podium that counts down from 15 minutes. Appellant, you can reserve whatever time you want for rebuttal. When the yellow light comes on, you have 5 minutes. Red light means stop. Everyone, please check your cell phones and pagers and the like. Make sure they're turned off. With that, the appellant in City of Colorado Springs may begin.
Good afternoon. David Eason, appearing for the appellant, City of Colorado Springs and its utilities enterprise, registration number 11243. I'll refer to the city in this case simply as the city, and to the Board of County Commissioners of Pueblo County as the board or the county. May it please the court. The city believes that if left to stand in this case, the trial court's decisions below have the potential to have broad-ranging and disruptive effects. Now, the reason for this is that the trial court did not confine itself to the narrow issues that the parties stipulated to put before it. That is, issues concerning the meaning and application of House Bill 1041's zoned land exemption, but rather, at the county's prompting, ventured into questions such as whether a county's House Bill 1041 powers can be used to regulate storage in a federal reservoir, and whether those powers extend to recapture and exchange of return flows emanating from discharges outside the county's jurisdiction. Those issues that the court addressed principally in its December 30, 2007 order were not the subject of any claim or counterclaim pleaded below. They were not the subject of adequate discovery or proof. They were hardly capable of decision under the Rule 56 standard, and in at least one case, that is the use of Pueblo Reservoir, they did not involve the joinder of a necessary party, that is the United States of America and its Bureau of Reclamation.
Let me ask you this, counsel. How do you read the trial court's order? Is it simply saying that these matters are not exempt under AESIA, that is the land zone land exemption, basically telling you none of these are exempt under AESIA, or is it affirmatively telling you that other regulations apply?
We believe the orders are ambiguous, Your Honor, and we would certainly prefer a reading and believe the correct reading is simply that the exemption doesn't apply to those activities. However, the language of the orders, we think, can be used, and we certainly think the county has and will intend to use it as going much further and saying that those are activities that can be regulated under House Bill 1041. We don't think the record in this case will allow those decisions, if that's what they mean, to stand. They are outside the party's stipulation, and at a bare minimum, the court should vacate those determinations. The reason, frankly, is if an ambiguous decision of this sort is allowed to stand, it can be understood, we don't think should be, but can be understood, to mean that a county can use House Bill 1041 powers, that is, powers under a land use statute, to trump regulation under other state and federal schemes, for example, schemes involving water rights administration, and, in addition, control activity originating outside the county's territory. For example, if the county can regulate storage and control water, it can control water appropriations outside the county's territory occurring upstream from the reservoir. If a county can control capture and exchange of return flows, if it can regulate those matters, then it can regulate discharge occurring outside its territorial jurisdiction. There's hardly a stream or a river of any consequence in this state which does not flow through multiple jurisdictions and into and out of which multiple appropriations are not made and taken.
Counsel, you started with a stipulation, but then there were cross motions. And did the parties expand the issues in their motions such that, you know, although it appears to me that the stipulation says we're going to narrow this case, Colorado Springs is going to file an amended complaint that was done, that amended complaint conformed to the stipulation, and then thereafter, there were motions and answers to motions. Did those motions expand the case at all?
Our motion did not. I think a fair reading of our motion limited it strictly to the meaning and application of the zoned land exemption to the proposed and alternative alignments of the pipeline. The county's cross motion did expand the issues, and we objected at every step in our response and otherwise to that expansion, and argued that the county had gone beyond the issues framed by the stipulation. We think that's clear in the record. We think, in summary, the court had no authority nor any basis in fact or law to venture into this thicket of the potential implications of House Bill 1041 with respect to extraterritorial matters and with respect to matters of water rights administration. We think at a bare minimum this court has to make clear that those determinations, to the extent they can be interpreted in that way, are ineffective and have nothing to do with the matters and issues before the trial court or this court in this case. Now, turning to the issues that we think were properly before the trial court, what does the zoned land exemption mean, and how does it apply to the proposed and alternative alignments of the pipeline? We think the meaning is clear, as we've stated, that the zoned land exemption says that House Bill 1041 does not apply to any activity which is to occur on land zoned for the use contemplated by the activity as of the effective date of the statute, May 17, 1974. The county, on the other hand, says that the exemption is quite narrow and that it only is applicable to an activity that existed or was applied for on May 17, 1974 and prior to or on that date received specific project approval. And in addition, only applicable to an activity to occur on land zoned for that specific activity. Now, these issues, we think, were addressed in the Drosty decision and case before this court, reported at 85 P3rd 585. And we believe that the decision settled most of these issues. In that case, the Court of Appeals found that the zoned land exemption was plain, stated plainly that it exempts a previously zoned land from regulation under House Bill 1041, but then went on to reject the assertion of the plaintiffs and the appellants that the zoned land exemption was a requirement that controlled under Section 107 of the Enabling Act. The court said, no, that's not the case. It's an exemption. It's not a requirement. And therefore, where the exemption applies, Enabling Act regulation can nonetheless occur at the county level.
So is the practical effect of your interpretation that the zoning's forever locked in? I mean, that the 1974 zoning is forever?
No, Your Honor. Zoning under the exemption can evolve. Zoning can change. The exemption simply says that as to House Bill 1041 regulation, leaving to one side all other forms of regulation, zoning in place as of 1974 will exempt an activity or use within an area of state interest that's consistent with or permitted under that zoning. This really has, our interpretation, we believe, a very narrow focus and narrow effect. The zoned land exemption does not affect zoning. It doesn't affect the evolution or continuation of zoning. It does not limit the county's powers under the Enabling Act, as this court decided in the Drosty case. And in almost all cases that will come before a county or local government for land use approval, its regulations will be adopted under a variety of statutory schemes, the County Planning Code, the Enabling Act, and possibly House Bill 1041 as well. And in those cases, under Drosty, the zoned land exemption will have no practical effect, except in one case. That is where the party is not regulated in a binding way. The person wanting to do the development is not regulated in a binding way through zoning. That is only the case with respect to governmental actors, and only the case with respect to the state, a home rule city, or another governmental actor who must go through advisory review under the county planning code, but not binding review. We think this exemption is consistent with the intent of House Bill 1041 and the clear language of the zoned land exemption.
So help me understand this. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Colorado Springs doesn't think that it has to apply to Pueblo County for permits. Is that your position?
No, that's not quite correct. Under the County Planning Code, Section 110, 3810, 110, 1A, and 1C, the city must apply to the County Planning Commission. County Planning Commission is entitled to conduct a full review. The city is to respond to that review. But at the end of the day, if there is a ultimate point of disagreement between the city and the county, the city can, through action of its city council or its utilities governing board, say that it will proceed with the project as planned, notwithstanding the county's views to the contrary. So it's advisory review. It's review that assures a political check against what's happening. And it's a review that we think is much more suited to a relationship between two sovereign entities, at least in our case, a home rule city and a county, than a subordinate dominant relationship such as the county wishes to propose, where the county can control through regulatory means in a binding and conclusive form. That's the wisdom of the county planning code. And the county planning code is a requirement under Section 107 of the Enabling Act. Therefore, notwithstanding the county's arguments to the contrary, Enabling Act authority does the county no more. It doesn't enhance the county's power in this case any more than 1041, where the zone land exemption applies.
So let me ask you this. So let's say that in 1974 we have some agricultural land, and it's owned by Jones. Some years later, 10, 15, 20 years later, Jones decides he wants to subdivide that land, or he wants to do a PUD. County approves it. He now has residential area, but that land was zoned to permit a power station back in 74. And now you apply for your permit to the county, and the county says, there's no way you're going to put a power station in the middle of that community. We're not going to let you do it. And you're saying under Asia, they have no power, they can't do that.
If it's Jones who's applying, the answer is no. The county could regulate the construction and operation of the power station under many different sources of authority, and it is almost always the case the county will have enacted, as the county did here, its regulations both under the Enabling Act, under 1041, and under other county authority.
But my question is, could Colorado Springs come in and say, we don't care what you say, we bought that land, yeah, it's right in the middle of the community, but we want to put a power station in there, and we're going to do it the way we want to do it. We understand either one, that you say you can't do it, or that if we do it, we have to do certain things. And Colorado Springs says, no, we don't. Is that?
Colorado Springs would have to go through the advisory review under the county planning code, and there may be other regulatory mechanisms that apply. For example, in the case of the SDS project, as the record shows, the entire project is subject to the NEPA review process, because a contract with the Bureau of Reclamation is necessary in order for the project to occur at all. The hypothetical you pose, if there is no other source of regulation, the answer is yes. Under our interpretation of the zoned land exemption, because the land was zoned as of the effective date of 1041 for that purpose, then the city is free to use it for that purpose, because the city is not bound in a conclusive way by zoning or by review through the county process.
Now let me ask you this. The other exemptions all pertain to existing developments and activities, developments and activities that existed in May of 1974, do they not?
They all pertain to specific types of development approvals that require some form of affirmative action in an approval sense by the local government, for example, planned unit development. Those are all forms in the other exemptions that come in Section 107C of AASIA that require some affirmative action. The zoned land exemption relies solely upon zoning.
But that's not my question. My question is, if there's been an affirmative action, that means there is a development or there is an activity in existence in 1974. Does it not mean that?
If there has been affirmative local action, it means that something has happened, an application has occurred, a permit possibly has been issued.
Which means
does not necessarily mean that there's anything on the
ground. Which means there was a development or activity in existence in 1974,
that
right?
That would be correct. It would
so
be on the
what's
way.
The rationale then for this one exemption to pertain to all future activities and developments 50 years hence? What's the rationale for that?
The legislature was faced with the task of balancing state, local, and user interests. That's a legislative decision. I think we can all agree on that. And it was the legislature's role to weigh those various interests. and the goal was to work out a fair balance. Now, there were possibilities that the legislature might have considered. No exemption for zoning. That was in the original draft of 1041. That was excluded. The legislature could have considered exemption only for established uses or only for planned uses. But if it was only established uses, that would not sufficiently protect the reasonable expectation of users, and it would allow the state, through the LUC in its formal capacity under the original version of 1041, to go into any county or any local government and tell them that they had to adopt area or activity designations inconsistent with their zoning. In 74, unlike today, local governments were far more zealous in terms of their protection of their zoning regulations. And the quid pro quo for the political support, for lack of a better word, necessary to get 1041 passed and to inject the state into land use planning at that point, which was an entirely new role for the state to play, was the protection of historic local zoning. And so the legislature decided, look, if you zoned it as of the date of the act, then you're protected. The LUC can't come in and mess with your zoning, but zoning can continue to evolve. You can continue to do that. But we're going to have to draw a line here, and that's the line that was drawn.
We're going to have to draw a line because even though you may change the zoning someday, there is a reason for having the zoning locked in, or this 1974 zoning locked in for 50-plus years.
Well, subject to possible amendment of the statute, Your Honor. But at some point, legislation is an exercise in line drawing. And I would challenge the court, frankly, to come to a better balance than the one that we've proposed, one that balances state, local, and user interests.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see my time's expired. Thank you.
Good day. I'm Ray Petros, number 6763. I'm with the Denver law firm of Petros and White. We are special counsel to Pueblo County on land use and water matters. I would like to begin my presentation with sharing some general perspectives with you, and then actually get into some of the more specific arguments, including the legislative purposes of HB 1041. It's the plain meaning of the exemption. In the event the court feels the statute is ambiguous, the judicial deference to the county and land use commission interpretation of the exemption. And finally, the effect of the stipulation. This is a very important case to Pueblo County. We're talking about a massive water project by an outside user in the county. It'll have a lot of environmental and socioeconomic impacts unless mitigated. The county's position, and I think Mr. Eason stated it pretty well in his argument, is on the one hand, they want to be shielded from the provisions of the areas and activities regulations, claiming that the utilities are zoned for that in 1974, but then want to turn around and say, oh, King's X, zoning doesn't apply to municipal utilities like Colorado Springs, and in effect, the zoning is inapplicable. I submit can't have it both ways. If it's to be zoned for and enforceable, then you can't also then argue and have it exempt from the areas and activities regulations, and then at the same time argue King's X, that zoning doesn't apply to us. And it's also very important to recognize their position on House Bill 1034, the Enabling Act, which they also claim can't be applied to municipal utilities. And so the result, if they get this exemption for under 1041, is they are effectively exempt from local regulations. That is contrary, thwarts the very purpose of the House Bill 1041.
How is it that they're exempt from local regulation? Mr. Easton just said, you know, if there's other regulations pertaining to land use, we, you know, we'll probably be obliged to comply with them. There may be permitting required. We're just exempt from Asia.
Remember, he said that if in the event of a conflict between the county and them, they could overrule the county. So, in effect, they want to say that any local land use regulation, absent 1041, is merely advisory and is not binding or enforcing. We think both 1041 and 1034 apply to all municipalities and state governments, federal governments. That's what Asia specifically states, is that persons regulated under that include state agencies, federal government, and municipalities and political subdivisions of the state.
So are any private entities also, can you regulate private entities under Asia, under 1041?
Yes.
So let's talk about the situation, because it appears that both of you are saying this case has broader ramifications beyond these two parties. So if we were to conclude that, like Colorado Springs is saying, that this exemption does not apply in their circumstance, if there's a private entity in the same circumstance, then would that private entity also be exempt from Asia regulation?
They could make the same argument as they are, that if there's a generic zoning use or even a provision for special use permits, keep in mind on public land, under the county regulations, any proposed use on public land has to be subject to a special use permit. So if we were to adopt the city, it would mean that any use on public land is exempt from Asia. And again, that is contrary to the stated purpose of Asia, which is, it says it's to regulate and protect all lands within Colorado, including public domain. And I think there's a danger here of maybe overcomplicating and overthinking this exemption. The exemption is categorized as the zoned land exemption by the city. That's not accurate. It's the zoned for exemption. That preposition for is very important. It indicates a purposeful, in my mind, purposeful action, approving the particular action, as opposed to zoned land. Under the city's interpretation, essentially any local government or any county government that had zoning in place would not likely be able to enforce their Asia requirements. Contrary to the stated purpose of the legislature, encouraging local governments to do that in the many 20 or so areas and activities of state interest. There are 130 parcels that are involved with this SDS pipeline project. And keep in mind, it's not just the pipeline project. That goes to the heart of the controversy here as well. What is the activity? The city wants to fragment the project and say it's only the pipeline in the ground. We say the activity is the combination of the storage, the delivery through the pipeline, the construction of pump stations, the construction of 20 or 30 large concrete bunkers across 20 miles, 300 and some acres of Pueblo County, and it's the placement of the return flows in Fountain Creek through Pueblo and exchanging that dirty water for clean water, depleting the flows through Pueblo, that is part of the water project. That goes to the heart of what the legislature was trying to get after with 1041.
Now, those return flows are going to be placed, they're going to be placed into the creek in El Paso County.
That's correct.
And is Pueblo trying to control the way that those return flows are being put into the creek in El Paso County?
No, we're controlling the carriage of that foreign water. This is foreign water in what was otherwise a normally dry intermittent stream that is now going to be and has turned into a free-flowing stream year-round as a result of upstream development. And it's those effects on land within Pueblo County that is part of this project that we think can be regulated and is part and parcel of the construction of the pipeline.
And that comes under the definition of water system?
Water system, but also water project, efficient utilization of a municipal water project. There are two designated activities, domestic water and sewer, the site selection and construction of domestic water and sewer systems, and efficient utilization of a municipal water project, including reuse and recycling.
Now, did Judge Mayes say that that your Asia regulations did in fact restrict the city's ability to put water into that creek, or did he simply say there's no exemption? What's your read on it?
Well, I think he said there's no exemption, and that for purposes of defining what is the zoned use, we say you have to figure out what that use is. And the use is not fragmented to just the pipeline. It's the water project. And that specific term or water system, those were the generic terms used in Asia, not pipelines, but water systems and water projects. And that's the benefit of 1041 legislation and regulations.
Why isn't that beyond the stipulation? The stipulation talks about this one exemption and whether, as I understand it, whether it applies or it does not apply. And it doesn't talk about whether any particular regulation established pursuant to Asia controls water flows in Fountain Creek.
Well, the stipulation not only talks about the interpretation of the Zone 4 exemption, the statutory, but also says at issue are the definitions and descriptions by the county of the Zone 4 exemption in the county exemption. And the definition, the very first part of the county regulation is that the exemption only applies in the event the regulations are authorized exclusively under Asia. Under House Bill 1041. So necessarily, were the court to find that the Asia exemption applied, it would then have to, in order to have the relief requested by the city that it's exempt from the county regulations, then determine which part of the regulations are authorized exclusively under 1041. The Pueblo County regulations specifically say, as do the model land use regulations, that the exemptions only apply to the extent exclusively authorized under Asia. And so that's how we get around to the 1034, House Bill 1034 Enabling Act integration with the regulations. It also, the definitions and descriptions to determine what is the use, what is the activity, also triggers what is the activity that was zoned. I mean, on a simple matter, we say the placement of a utility in the underground is not what was is being was zoned. It is the water project or the water system. None of those terms appear as a listed use in any of the zoning. So on that very simple level, the what is an activity, what is the definition and description under that zoned exemption is very much at issue in this case.
How is that right, though? I mean, if this court were to decide that there was no Asia exemption, then wouldn't the city just have to come in and go through the permitting process, and to the extent that it disagreed or felt that went awry, then it could bring that case forward to say that the regulations were improperly applied.
I would agree with that statement, that many of the concerns that were raised by the city are really as applied concerns. I would encourage the court, much like the district court, that had multiple layers of findings in favor of the county regulation, which included that the exemption is to be read as an affirmative approval as of 1974 of the particular use and activity. It also ruled that House Bill 1034, the Enabling Act, is an independent source of authority. That's relying on the Drost 1 case before the court. And the city says, on the other hand, that 1034 doesn't apply to municipal utilities, and yet that was an explicit application by the Court of Appeals in Eagle 4 in 1994 when this court affirmed the denial of a areas and activities permit by Summit County against the city's water project in the Holy Cross Wilderness area on federal land. And in affirming that denial, this court relied on the application of the provisions and powers and authorities of 1034 to buttress those of 1041. I think that if we look at the plain meaning of the statute, it's very clear that it related to an activity, as the judge pointed out, as of 1974. The other the context of the other exemptions were all specific project approvals. And consistent with that, we think that the Zoned 4 approval was for applications that were or projects that were approved at the time. Remember, Pueblo County requires for a use by right for there to be issued a zoning permit confirming that it is a listed use. No such zoning permit was obtained. In addition, no special use permits were obtained in this case. And so quite simply, the land wasn't zoned for the SDS project, which wasn't even contemplated for many decades after.
Thank you. Appellant, I absorbed a lot of your time with my questions. Bailiff, would you put another 2 minutes on for the city for rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor. To address just a few things that Mr. Petros had to say, the question from the court was whether Pueblo was trying to control how water was put in Fountain Creek in El Paso County. And Mr. Petros said, no, we're trying to control the carriage of water in Fountain Creek in Pueblo County. But of course, that can't occur unless you control how the water goes into the creek in the first instance. The two activities are inseparable from one another, and it is inevitably the case that if the county is going to try to regulate downstream flows, it will be regulating how that water goes into the creek. Furthermore, it will be regulating how that water goes into the creek within the boundaries of a home rule city. That raises constitutional issues, which we've discussed in our briefing, under which home rule city municipal utilities activities are essentially exempt from any type of regulation, not only local, but state through the PUC as a constitutional matter. So this attempt to slice the carriage of water from the discharge of water is inevitably one that will fail, and it involves the county in extraterritorial regulation, which is entirely outside the scope of House Bill 1041, which only allows counties to designate activities and areas in their jurisdictions for purposes of regulations. We would agree that one of the purposes of the stipulation, Your Honor, was to take out of the case detailed examination of the county's regulations and how they might apply. We tried to put very basic issues before the trial court. What does the zone land exemption mean, and how does it apply to facilities that are indisputably utilities facilities and indisputably will cross lands zoned either by right or by review under the county's 1974 zoning resolution for utilities uses? Once we get outside those questions, we are dealing with matters that were reserved by the parties for another day. Those are the issues we intended to put before the court. We felt the facts were utterly undisputed and could be decided as a matter of law under Rule 56, and that's why we crafted the stipulation the way we did it. The court went well beyond that, of course, and started to get into what's the overall activity involved in the project, and can the county go outside its jurisdiction, and questions of that sort, which we think were totally inappropriate. And then finally, the reliance upon the Eagle County series of cases is telling, and we think unfounded. In none of those cases was any court, this court, the Supreme Court, or any other court, confronted with an attempt by a county to do anything other than regulate physical construction occurring in the county and the impacts associated with that physical construction. That's it. There is nothing in those cases which either addresses the zoned land exemption before the court in this case,
thank you,
or
counsel,
suggests that you can go beyond it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.